Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking on the phone to Trent Hoff down at Hayward Bait and Bottle for reports on your outdoors. And then we have a very interesting interview with Hayward Area Pro Angler Pete Maina talking ice fishing. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get that skidoo feeling at Hayward Power Sports. During the Yellow Tag sales event, get a free 2-year limited warranty and 4.99% financing for 36 months on all new 2021 models. Yes, we have them in the building and many more are on the way, but shop early for your best selection and make sure you get one. Just reserve your new skidoo and when it arrives, we'll set it up and call you in time for you to enjoy that new skidoo smell. It's the Skidoo Yellow Tag event at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on credit worthiness. See dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
We're talking to Trent Hoff down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And Trent, you know, we're getting into the holidays. As we're speaking here, we're coming into the New Year weekend, but this will be airing on New Year's weekend. What are you seeing and hearing out there as far as the ice conditions on the lakes right now?
Well, there's a bit of variance. You know, most commonly you're going to see anywhere from 5 to 9 inches, but we've had some recent accumulation, and that can make things a little slushy on top. And some of your bigger bodies like the Couderay, Round Lake, and Whitefish, they've even had almost open water here recently. So,
well, it sounds like most of the small lakes are pretty good yet then, right?
Yeah. You're going to see most commonly probably around 8 inches, maybe even 9 on some of those smaller lakes.
What are you hearing for reports on, say, let's start with walleyes. Say, any reports on walleyes right now?
Yeah, it does seem to be kind of a better early night bite. You know, that 5 to 6, maybe even 7 o'clock in the evening. And then again, usually like around 10 o'clock to midnight, they seem to pick up again. But guys are even catching them during the day as well. It just seems like, you know, they got to work those breaks and drop offs. And right, kind of on the outside of weed edges is where most people have been having success.
They're still finding some good green weeds out there yet then.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Just kind of dependent on the lake, of course. But there's, you know, I've been on quite a few lakes and seen some pretty good vegetation yet.
Yeah, as far as the bait for walleyes, I've been mostly what, shiners or walleye suckers, what?
Well, it kind of depends on the lake a little bit, you know, but it seems like walleye suckers, more often than not, are what are doing the trick. But you get on to, you know, some of these clear water lakes like Round Lake or the Couderay, and sometimes those shiners will definitely outperform.
How about panfish? You got any good reports on the panfish, crappies? What's going on there?
Well, yeah, actually, the the crappies, you know, guys are getting into them, but it's a patience game for sure. It does seem to be that the majority of them are out in those main basins, usually 25, 30 feet of water, with a little variance, but definitely just a good old, you know, tungsten jig like a Acme sling blade with a crappie minnow or a fathead is doing the trick. But there again, like I say, kind of a patience game. You might get 3, 4, 5 right away, and then you might have to wait 20 minutes to 45, 50 minutes before they come back around. And so, you know, there could be a little bit of hole hopping, you know, to keep on them consistently.
Well, that basin crappies, the ones that are on that deeper basin, usually they'll bite all day a little bit better than the ones on the weed edge. Sometimes you get the weed fish. They tend to be a little bit more toward evening or early morning. Is that what you're hearing there, too?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there again, like you just said, the ones in the main basin does seem like, you know, you can still catch a few of those throughout the day for sure. But, yeah, trying to work those drop-offs around those bowls and on the edges of the main basin, they seem to be cruising a bit more.
Anything on bluegills at all?
Yeah, the past few days have been a little slow, but guys are still getting on them, of course. Seems like the small ones you can catch all day long, but the bigger ones, it does seem to be a bit more at noon, and then from about 2 to 3:30, 4 o'clock has been the best bite recently.
Heard anything at all on perch yet? Usually we start to, after we get into the first of the year, we'll start hearing more on perch.
Actually, you know what? It does seem to be a pretty good perch bite already. I know grindstone has been pretty productive, and just working muck bottom and sandy humps.
As far as the northern pike action?
Yeah, that's been consistent pretty much, you know, throughout the day. It kind of depends on the lake, but most people are fishing about 10, even as far out as 15 feet on certain bodies of water, but working drop-offs and kind of around points where you might find some vegetation or some of those panfish on the move.
Mostly with tip-ups, and anybody been jig fishing those at all, you hear?
It did seem like there was more people jigging them early on in the season, but more recently, not quite as much. I think part of that is because more people are starting to jig walleye or panfish and setting tip-ups more or less for the pike.
You bet. Well, you know, it seems like there are going to be a few people out there, been quite a few people out the way I hear, you know, and we got the snowmobile trails going to be opening up here. We're getting a little bit more snow. You guys are geared up for just about anything they need when it comes to the ice fishing and fishing for the winter down there at the Hayward Bait.
Yeah, actually, we have a really good assortment of shacks this year, both pop-ups and pull-behind sleds. We got a good assortment of electric augers, Strike Master, Ions, several others. And we definitely have a really friendly staff and knowledgeable. And, you know, if you come in and have any questions, we're going to try and answer them the best we can.
I want to thank you for coming on here, Trent.
You're welcome, John. Thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we've got a very interesting interview talking ice fishing with pro angler Pete Mayna. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The ultimate gift is a new Polaris snowmobile from Hayward Power Sports. During the holiday sales event, get a free 2-year limited warranty with promotional financing available on new 2021 models. If you missed out on Snow Check, don't worry. You can still get the hot new Matrix body style featured in the Indy XC Launch Edition, powered by either an 850 or the first of its kind 650 Patriot engine. See Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
See dealer for details. Polaris recommends that all riders take a training course, wear a helmet and safety apparel, never drink and ride.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're into the ice fishing season now, and you know, we've seen more and more people taking up ice fishing. I think a lot of that's due to the fact that we've got better gear and equipment and more knowledge, and just it just makes it a lot better and a lot nicer to be out there. And on this week's show, I had a chance to talk to a longtime Hayward area resident here and a pro angler, Pete Mayna. Talked on the phone a little bit about ice fishing. A lot of good tips and some good information there. So let's hear what we had to talk about.
We're talking to fishing pro Pete Mayna. And Pete, I know your thing is chasing muskies, but it's pretty hard to do in the wintertime. So unless you go south, you spend a lot of time out there on the ice, right?
Oh, way more time than people realize. Yeah, you get known for muskies, I guess, and that's a lot of people think that's the only focus. But I've been on the ice forever since I started fishing, and actually do a lot of it every year, mainly around here in the Hayward area. But I travel quite a bit to do it as well.
I know you grew up on one of the lakes here at a resort, actually, so you had a chance to get out there. Nothing else to do in the winter up here, so we got to go ice fishing, right?
Yeah, well, especially back then. That was before turkey seasons or anything like that. So, yeah, got to go ice fishing.
Well, you know, Hayward, you know, we're talking about northern Wisconsin here. We can talk about Hayward, but we could talk about with everything within a short drive of here. We got a lot of different opportunities to ice fish. I mean, there's a lot of overlooked waters up here, too, small waters and places that people just don't go.
Oh, that's true. I mean, that's one thing, obviously, open water season in this time of the year. And frankly, you know, in a lot of cases with, you know, snowmobiles and ATVs, there's so many real small bodies of water around that you can't get a boat in unless you drag a smaller boat into or whatever, that are actually easier to access in the winter as well. And yeah, there's all kinds of opportunities, obviously, from big deep clear lakes to big basically reservoirs like the Chippewa Flowage in reality is, and everything in between. But these tiny waters can be kind of fun. The one thing with that particular topic, you know, I would emphasize that, you know, it's better to target some of those smaller bodies of water this time of the year on first ice. In a lot of cases, it's the first places you can get out to safely. But the other thing that you see in some of the smaller water bodies is that, unless there's current flowing through, the oxygen levels get lower quicker there. So generally the fish are pretty active first ice, but then as you get towards the middle of winter, you know, in a lot of cases, it's not worth fishing anymore because the fish get so negative due to the lack of oxygen.
Well, you know, the big thing seems to be everybody is itching to get out after walleyes right away. And, you know, we've had some problems with walleye reproduction and a lot of issues up here. They've been stocking doing a lot of things, but we still have some lakes that have some pretty doggone good walleye fishing. You know, where would you start at on some of those lakes, first of all?
Oh, well, gosh, that all really, really, really depends on the body of water. Generally, first ice, I'll fish quite shallow in a variety of bodies of water. Actually, just to try and get a pattern. There, you will have a fair amount of fish that'll move back up shallow, and that can be actually hard bottom and weeds. And generally the weed bite is better when you've got clear bodies of water where the weeds are more green and healthier. But, ideally what you do is it's the same thing I talk about a ton with open water type fishing is preferably, you know, I'll choose an area that gives me options. So in other words, I wanna be able to start in a spot that provides me some nice shallow water stuff, hopefully edges, break lines, and ideally some weeds and hard bottom area, and in a few cases possibly wood too, but also a drop off and spots that have access to deep water, so you can probe out in the deep water areas too. Generally what I'll do for walleyes is you want to get some sets up shallow, and the evening movement will generally be shallower. So let's say I'm on a piece of structure. I've got a break line out to 30 feet of water, whatever it might be. The shallowest part of the structure is up 6 to 8 feet, let's say. Maybe there's some weeds there. So I'm going to drill a bunch of holes in that whole range. What I will generally expect to happen is that my deeper sets will be active first, most likely.
Yeah, and we're talking about the walleyes, too. When you're talking about that, do you think that, you know, everybody wants to set tip-ups, and we're just talking about setting tip-ups to make an evening bite. During the open water, we've kind of got to where we're starting to do a lot of what we're trying to get trigger bites, responsive strikes. And I'm hearing some guys are doing that on open water. I mean, Minnesota's been big on jig fishing for walleyes through the ice for years, and we've been always kind of a tip-up bite place.
Oh, well, there's no doubt about that. But obviously you can catch them here, too. It's not just Minnesota where walleyes bite on artificial lures in the winter. So, yeah, the same thing can be true. You'll generally have more luck in the deeper ranges, getting them on a lure bite. I think where the tip-ups really shine is in the shallower zones. But, you know, simple enough, you do both, right?
You bet.
And, you know, you can always, if, you know, one thing I'll do is, too, if it seems like there are times when it seems like more of a live bait only bite or whatever, and then you can always quit jigging if you know by looking at your electronics, which is the case a lot of times. You'll actually have fish, and you can't trigger them to bite. And, you know, if that's the case and you're getting some flags with tip-ups and some success with that, it might behoove you to switch to live bait there, or rather than just switch over to a tip-up, obviously you can always use a jig rod and put a live bait on it. Which is a lot more fun, frankly, in a lot of cases than catching on a tip-up. So there's a lot of things you can do, but the important thing, as always, is trying to pattern, and that's what I like about having an area that provides you the deep water access and shallow, and it's really important to get a bunch of extra holes drilled, because if you see patterns changing, then you can adapt really quickly, and you're not making a bunch of noise on the ice during a bite window. You know, drill holes in a bunch of different ranges. So if you see a deep pattern start, you know, you got holes ready to go, you can jump in, you can move some tip-ups, you can try jigging in those areas. Same thing if the fish move shallower, you can do that as well, quickly adapt.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is I think people all too often, you know, forget there's other fish in the lake besides walleyes, and they just get so focused on we've got to set everything up for walleyes when, you know, they bite at a certain time, sometimes during the day, and other times of the day, you got all kinds of good panfish action and northern pike action. There's a lot of different things you can do out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's if there's a negative about walleyes, it's generally, and in dark water, it can be a different ballgame, but generally, it's an evening bite and early morning bite, you know, and obviously, there's a lot of other fish in the lake, And frankly, pan fishing can be better during the day than it is right at dark. You'll see tendencies there, too. Some bodies of water where generally that last little bit is bet with a flurry. But I can't tell you how many times I've done really well on panfish, especially suspended panfish right in the middle of the day. And also northern pike. You know, you mentioned that, and the vast majority of our waters here have got northern pike. And they're generally more active during the middle of the day, and a lot of times sunny days are better in most cases. So you can get northern pike all day long, and we've got a lot of lakes that have a pretty fair population of northern pike. It could even be argued in some cases there's too many smaller to mid-sized ones, and they're a good fish, frankly, for a little bit of harvesting in the middle range if you're on a body of water like that that's filthy with them, that's got a lot of them. You know, I emphasize that with all these species. I don't care if it's panfish, bass, northern pike, walleye. Everybody wants to keep walleye, to a certain extent. For some reason, they got the reputation as being the fish to eat. Now, frankly, I haven't really seen a fish I don't like to eat. Hell, I'll eat a largemouth bass. I think they're pretty good, too. But I'll only do that where there's a lot of them, you know, and that should be something everyone's keeping in mind, regardless of the species. And that boils down to bluegills and crappies, too. People tend to think that, you know, and perch, that there's like an endless supply of those out there. there's not. There's too many of us doing it. So, you know, be real careful about what you choose to harvest. Be very selective in the size structure. And don't, you know, if you've got a low-density walleye population, which a lot of our lakes do, you mentioned that, John, and but in a lot of cases, there are places where you can do well on walleye and catch some trophy walleye, some nice big fish. You know, don't look at every fish as something to eat. You know, practice catch and release through the ice too, and it's very enjoyable, and obviously common sense would tell you, you know, for your next trip out, you got a much better chance of catching fish when there's plenty of fish in there. So you definitely want to let them go, and you want to be selective about what you do keep to harvest.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll finish up with that interview with pro angler Pete Maina. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Carlson Motorsports is Hayward's newest auto dealership. If you're looking for a used vehicle or automotive service, stop in. And they also carry the all-aluminum cargo trailers from Trophy and the unique Lake Lounger combination pontoon dock system. Carlson Motorsports is located just north of the intersection of Highway 63 and 77 on Windrose Lane. Give them a call today at 715-634-1347.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that interview with Pete Maina.
Well, I don't think when it comes to panfish, crappies, and bluegills, keeping the you know, smaller ones, not the real small, but, you know, if you look at bluegills, seven, 8 inches versus trying to keep all the big ones, and crappies, you know, 8, 9, 10 inches versus all the 12 inches, because I think that's where the main reason why we're seeing some lakes that you just can't find a decent bluegill or a decent crappie on, because they can't stay in the lake long enough to grow big enough.
Oh, yeah. Well, we, you know, you and I have talked about this before, but it's good to talk about on the radio. A lot of people might not realize that, but, you know, when I was a kid here, lived here all my life, I mean, 15, 16-inch crappies were pretty much the norm as some of the larger fish in just about all the lakes I fished. The lake I grew up on, that had a reserve, Spider Lake chain, it's still got a decent panfish population, but the average crappie is tiny comparatively. It's about half of what it used to be. I can't remember the last time I saw a 15-inch crappie. You can still catch quite a few of them, but the size is down, and that's just strictly genetics. That's the only thing that makes any sense like that. For years and years and years, though, we treat fish harvest exactly the opposite of how a farmer treats his animals. You know, if you want a big cow or a big horse or a faster horse or whatever, you don't kill the fastest horse you got or kill the biggest bull and cow you got if you want bigger animals. Same with anything. And that's, you know, selectively, unfortunately, what we did for years and years back when we had those big crappies. People tend to, you keep all the big ones because they look the prettiest and they're the biggest and I guess easiest to clean too, and you throw all the little ones back. Well, those are the weaker ones reproducing, and unfortunately we've done that in a lot of cases, but it can reverse itself too. And I always emphasize this with panfish, with northern pike as well. As you know, northern pike is something that I choose to harvest, so I let's just throw out an average size northern pike I might keep to flay in a lot of situations to be a 25-incher. I'd always let a, you know, 28 and above go. But if it's a 25-inch northern pike that's skinny, I'm going to keep that fish. People see this with everything. You catch crappie, you catch a bluegill, or whatever, out of the same body of water, and some of them just look healthy. They got big, broad shoulders. They got big, thick backs. They're fast-growing, aggressive specimen. You see that in a northern pike. If I don't care how hungry I am for a northern pike. If I get a 25-inch northern pike that's got those genes, I can see he's got the big, thick back behind those gills, and it runs all the way to his tail. That's a prime genetic specimen. Those should always go back, even if they fall in the size range you normally keep. For instance, an 8-inch crappie. You get one that just looks like a bull. He's the weightlifter of the crowd, right, that you pull through the ice. You should put that fish back. That's a fish you want back in the water.
You bet. Well, you know, so much has changed when it comes to ice fishing and fishing in general. And I don't know what you think is the number one thing that's improved our productivity and our ability to find fish on the lakes. I believe it's probably the electronics, right?
Well, there's no doubt, and to a certain extent, that's why, you know, I'll say it. It's almost unfair compared to what, you know, you and I were used to when we got started in this. I mean, it's unbelievable. You got the electronics; it's literally showing everything. And the bottom line is, I use the Livingston sound devices now too, which they're pulling fish in by making actual fish noises. And so you've got those kind of advantages. You can also, I have not done the panoptics, that type of thing, either. But you're, you know, not only do you have the electronics opportunity below the hole, you got all kinds of people these days sticking stuff down the hole that looks sideways. And you can locate fish that way, obviously. So, yeah, there's all kinds of tools. Obviously, better ice augers. You know, you remember back in the day, you used to have to pound holes with a chisel or a hand auger. You didn't pound as many holes as you can now. I run around with my Jiffy, and, you know, I drill, I don't think anything up, popping 20, 30 holes in, you know, in 5-10 minutes, especially when you got this kind of ice. So, yeah, there's so many different things that make you more efficient these days.
Well, the electronics, Pete, too, when you add in the fact that something like the Hummingbird Helix Ice, for instance, has got GPS side-by-side with it, so you've got all your spots from the summertime readily available, yeah. So you drill less holes.
Yep. Oh yeah, I've got everything saved on my Helix, and those are, yeah, they're just unbelievable. You got the GPS and everything on. You got the mapping. You can literally be out there exploring too on a body of water that you've never even fished before. And obviously, if it's one you fished before, then you've got all of your information from your summertime efforts out there right on your unit, and you just go right there.
Oh man, I tell you what, it's a pleasure talking to you, Pete, here. A lot of good information there on helping people maybe catch some fish. And, you know, we got more people out there fishing today now than we have had, probably because of this dumb virus thing going on. But it seems like it's actually helped the sport of fishing because more people are out there.
That is absolutely true. It's frankly amazing. It's kind of nice to see humans are pretty resilient, and you know, there's good news to everything. I've always said that, and even in some of the darkest situations, and that's certainly it with regard to that. Yeah, there's way more fishing interest, and you know, it doesn't matter who you talk to in the fishing industry, if they're, you know, if they're producing hooks or boats or motors or whatever, they're all happier than a clam, I guess. So there's certainly good news there.
Well, again, thanks, Pete, for being on here. It's been interesting talking to you here, and hopefully you can spend some time out there on the ice, and I can get out there, and everybody else can, and everybody be safe out there. Remember, ice is ice. It, you always want to be careful out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely be safe. But we've got great ice conditions so far this year, so... Yeah, and obviously it's not driving a truck out type stuff yet, but real good, not a whole lot of snow, so yeah, get out and do it. I've been doing a ton of it already, and it's been real good.
So. Well, thanks, Pete, for coming on here.
You bet, John, thanks.
Well, folks, you know, we're just about out of time for this week's show. I want to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, you can always go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify every week. We're out of time for this week, and I hope everyone gets a chance to get out there and enjoy our great outdoors and be safe out there, everyone. We'll see you again next week with another interesting show.
Come on along, listen with me. I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.